Welcome to Speaking of Grace, the weekly message podcast from the Whole Life Church in Orlando, Florida. We're a multi-ethnic, multicultural, and multi-generational congregation committed to our mission of loving people into a lifelong friendship with God. We are committed to our vision of being a church without walls, fully engaged in serving the people of our community. Thank you for joining us as we continue Speaking of Grace.
Ken, my favorite verse is Exodus 14:14. The Lord your God will fight for you. You only need to be still. And to me, especially over the past couple of years, this verse has taken on a whole new meaning. From sometimes when you feel like you're following God at your deepest levels, he comes in and saves you. Just like those Israelites had to feel that their day of salvation had come. Suddenly they're following God. They're out of Egypt. They're on this incredible adventure to the promised land. And then the sea comes before them. God leads them right to the sea. And suddenly as they're faced with the sea, they turn around and the whole army of Egypt is behind them. And so I'd really like to know, I love this verse, but how can I live it? How can I know that I need to be still, that God is fighting the battle? I'd love to find out more. Thanks.
Well, Derek, I feel like it'd be better if we crowdsourced the answer, don't you? I think it'd be better. Are you guys in? Can we crowdsource Derek's answer? It shouldn't just have to be me, right? I'm not the smartest person in this room. I bet you I'm not even in the top 50. So are you in with me? Will you help me with this sermon? Like, you get a paycheck, you do it, preacher boy, right? Like, okay, I hear you. Okay. Work with me. We're going to try to do something a little bit different today, okay? I want your help. As you can see, there is going to be, right here on the bottom, a phone number. You see that phone number there? When you come to church here, I'm preaching, you're going to see that phone number almost every week. And you can call, we actually had somebody call in the worship center and leave a voicemail for us. We thought that was pretty cool. Be respectful of the people around you a little bit. I don't know. But if you can talk very quietly, that maybe. But you can also text. You can text in your thoughts. And today we're asking you to do something a little bit differently. I'm going to ask you to not text your questions to me, but I'm going to ask you to text in the applications for you. So as I am telling you the story that this favorite Bible verse of actually several people, we got a couple people that turned this one in, and Derek's the one who is willing to record it with us. But as you are hearing the story, I would love for you to text in the applications, maybe not just one, but the applications that you see for yourself, not the person sitting next to you, not the person that didn't come today with you, but for yourself. What applications, how do you hear God speaking to you through this story that we're going to be talking about in Exodus chapter 14? We all on the same page? We know what we're doing? Okay, great. For those of you who are online, you can put yours into the online chat and send those to our online host, and they're going to be representing you here too. And so there's going to come a point later on this sermon where we're actually going to take, I'm going to stop, and we're going to have you participate. So I'm looking forward to this. This is going to be fun. My team is scared. I'm excited. So last week we talked to you about Joseph. And so this is actually a very nice segue, because when Joseph goes to Egypt, his family, his 11 brothers, his father, they all come to Egypt and they live there. And the Pharaoh is so grateful to Joseph for the job that Joseph has done for him, he puts them in the best part of Egypt. And time goes by and they flourish. How much time goes by is, by the way, debated by biblical scholars. There's different amounts of time, but there comes a day, the Bible tells us, when the Pharaoh, a new Pharaoh, comes in and he does not know Joseph. He doesn't remember what Joseph did. And instead, he looks at all these foreigners in his country and says, we've got to do something about this. Well, if we don't do something, there's going to be more of them than us, and then they're going to take over. And that's not acceptable. So what do we do? And the solution from Pharaoh was enslave these people. And so the Israelites go into slavery, building Pharaoh's cities, doing Pharaoh's bidding. And the years go by, and they cry out to God. And I'm going to condense this story quite a bit so that we can get where we need to go. But along comes a guy named Moses. He's got a great story. We'll have to do a whole series on it some other time. But Moses comes along as the Israelites are being oppressed, and he comes to them and he says, God has told me that you need to be free. And the Israelites are like, I don't know if you've noticed that we're kind of under the control of the greatest nation on the face of the earth. This might not be what you think it is. And Moses says, trust. God's got this. And so God does some mighty miracles, powerful signs, 10 to be exact. And by the time God's done with Pharaoh, Pharaoh is pretty much wiped out. Like the whole country has been ravaged because Pharaoh refuses to let them go. But finally, after the final plague, Pharaoh says, fine, get out of here. And the Israelites leave Egypt. Can you imagine leaving slavery? They are jubilant. And not only do they leave, the Bible says they plundered Egypt on their way out. Because what they said is, as they went past their next door Egyptian neighbor, they're like, hey, I really like that Mercedes in your driveway. I know they didn't have Mercedes, just go with me. And the person was like, would it help you get out of here quicker? Take it. They're like, oh, and also that necklace you're wearing, very beautiful. Okay, just go, please leave. This is what happens. Can you imagine as an Israelite, you're like, oh, this is incredible. What a leader Moses is. What a God we serve. This is incredible. Yes, on we go. And the Bible says something funny. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them along the main road that runs through Philistine territory, even though that was the shortest route to the promised land. God said if the people are faced with a battle, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God does not, let's just say we wanted to go to Daytona. We're not going up I-4, we're headed towards Tampa. God takes them on a roundabout trip towards Daytona. Doesn't make any sense. There's faster ways. But God said, no, if you face battle, I'm afraid you're going to turn around and go back. So he leads them in a roundabout way through the wilderness to the Red Sea. Thus, the Israelites left Egypt like an army ready for battle. Remember that. They left like an army ready for battle, because we're going to find out whether they were ready for battle. And God is apparently not a great military tactician, because God takes them and he puts them in this place. You see the little castle that says Migdol? That was an Egyptian outpost fortress. So that's on one side of them. On the other side is mountains. On the other side is the Red Sea. I'm going to guess there aren't many of you that have been generals in the military, but I'm going to guess that all of you know this is not great positioning for an army. Number one, you're hanging out right next to the people you escaped from's fortress, outpost. So guess who's going to send a message back to Pharaoh right away? Hey, guess we saw about 5 million people just head into towards the Red Sea, and there's mountains on either side. Just letting you know. And Pharaoh's like, oh, which apparently was God's plan. Because God says, then Pharaoh will think the Israelites are confused and they're trapped in the wilderness. God, maybe they are trapped in the wilderness. Maybe that is what's going on here. And sure enough, Pharaoh gets word that they're there, and sure enough, Pharaoh takes the bait or the opportunity. And he chases after them. And he shows up, and they see him coming. And oh, those people are like, poor Pharaoh. We just got done with 10 plagues. He is so in trouble. Oh, we got nothing to worry about. God's got this. Look at him. He's brought us out. We plundered Egypt, 10 plagues. We got nothing to worry about. No. They panicked. They saw the Egyptians coming. They're like, oh! And I think that's an understatement. What have you done, Moses? What have you done? You know, we could have at least been buried near our home in Egypt. Did you think that we needed extra grave sites out in the wilderness? What are you doing, Moses? What are you doing, God? Why would you do this to us? I'm so glad I'm not like them. Anyway, just in case you're trying to start thinking about applications that you're texting in just or putting in this chat. And so Moses is such a great leader because Moses says to them, chillax. Ken Wetmore paraphrase. The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. This is Derek's favorite verse. He's saying this to a bunch of panicked people. Calm down. And they're saying, yeah, sure, Moses, we'll calm down when Pharaoh disappears. But we're all about to die. And I bet you it's not going to be pleasant. Now, Randy McGray, our communication director, really wanted me to hear how the message paraphrases this. I like my paraphrase better, chillax. It's very succinct. But the message is also excellent. God will fight the battle for you, and you keep your mouth shut. Any leaders here who've led people? Just trying to help you if you're trying to make some applications. God will fight the battle for you, and you keep your mouth shut. And then the next verse is my favorite. Because I told you, here's Moses, calm leader, very calm, right? Look at Moses, all that faith. Just relax and let God fight for you. But then look at what God says to him and ask yourself if he was relaxed. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? So here's what I think Moses did. I think Moses went to the people and he said, chillax, God's got this. And then I think he turned around, went into his tent and said, God help us, we're all about to die. That's what I imagine. I have never done anything like that as a leader, okay? But I can imagine it vividly. And God says, weren't you the guy out there just telling them to calm down? You calm down. And why are you just sitting there? Tell them to get moving. And I just wish the Bible gave a few more details. I wonder if Moses is like, and which direction would that be, God? Are we going to climb the mountain? Are we going to go back and fight the Egyptian, a superior military force with a bunch of women and children and men who have never ever done this before? Or do you want us to walk on water like anybody could ever do that? And in my imagination, God says to Moses, I want you to head toward the Red Sea. Get moving. Hold out your rod over the sea and see what happens. So Moses, in a major act of faith, moves forward, puts his rod out, and the Red Sea parts. Now, I got to tell you, an act of faith would be to walk through that. By the way, just so you know, the Red Sea parting, many theologians view that as also that baptism is representative of that as well. That baptism is a representation of that crossing of the Red Sea. It's going into the water, having faith, and coming out alive. And so the Israelites, in one evening, all of them, managed to go across the Red Sea. And I know that scholars debate exactly what happened here. And I know there are people who say it was only 2 or 3 inches of water that got moved aside. And I think even greater miracle, right? You've all heard this said before. Even greater miracle, Pharaoh gets drowned in 3 inches of water, right? But they get across. The Egyptians try to follow them. And the water comes down on the Egyptians, and they're drowned. And the Bible records, when the people of Israel saw the mighty power that the Lord had unleashed against the Egyptians, they were filled with awe before him. They put their faith in the Lord and in his servant Moses. And maybe one of the greatest worship services that ever happened happens in Exodus chapter 15, which is a beautiful song that we only now see as a poem that Miriam, Moses' sister, and the women of Israel sing. And I'm told there may have been some choreographed movement also that went with that. Dancing. And it's this great worship service that takes place. And the people who had already seen God's miraculous power are yet reminded of God's miraculous power. And for at least the next day or two, put their faith in Moses and God, because if you read the rest of the story, they keep freaking out. So here's your chance. As you hear that story, what applications for your life come to your mind? We have Stanley, who has been watching our online community and also taking the text messages that have come in. He's going to tell us what he's seen so far from our online community and things that may have been texted in. And we'd also like for you here in the worship center, who I'm looking at right now, we would love for you to also share a short application if you have it. And James and Melanie are here right now. And if you're willing to share a short application that you take away from this story, just raise your hand, remembering that they're going to hold the microphone. If you try to grab it, they're going to pull it back. I've told them not to hit you with it, but to pull it back, okay? And they're going to give you about 20 to 30 seconds to share your application, because we want to let as many people in. I would really love to hear from you. I would love for this to be an interactive time together, because we all learn from each other as we think about these things and how they apply to us. So, Stanley, what do you got?
All right. We have a bunch of responses, so I only have enough time to read a couple here, but a real quick one is from Deanna Carr, and she wrote, "Where there is no way, God makes a way." And then Chelsea B. Wrote, "I think I apply this story to my life when it comes to having faith that God, first of all, can hold back the seas in my life. Secondly, I have to have faith that he is leading me in the right direction into a better situation. The other side of the journey is scary because it is unknown, but God is there too. So I know and trust I will be all right in any land or situation." I thought that was great. And let me just read one here from our, what was texted in here. So there's a lot here, so I'm trying to choose a good one here, but don't let your fear and anxiety keep you from hearing or seeing what God is doing.
Love it, Stanley. We're going to come back to you here in a couple minutes to see if anything new has come in. But let's see if there's anybody here in our worship center. Oh, raise your hand if you're willing to talk. The people have been brave online. So let's, anybody here want to share an application that you have? So let's go ahead and we'll come right over. We've got two people right over here, James. So if we have another person right here. Okay. Okay, let's, are you up? Okay, let's, James, let's go to you.
Okay. When we...
That's his dad too, by the way. I'm proud of you, James.
When we moved here, it was like 1988. I hated it. I told the Lord, change me or change the place. Don't really change me. Change this place. I got an offer to leave. I realized it wasn't the thing to do. We went on a holiday one day in southern Georgia. I walked into a gas station, and out of the blue, this lady starts telling me, you know, you just got to trust the Lord. You ever have to move? You ever be not quite satisfied with living where you are? She described everything I was feeling and said, you just have to hang on to the Lord. Out of the blue, I walked out of that gas station, and I told the Lord, okay, I got it. I have to change. I was so disappointed because I had to change.
Great application. Love it. That's perfect. Yes.
Well, this story is especially meaningful to us because 6 years ago, my husband was 100% paralyzed, couldn't open or close his eyes, and in ICU. And every day, I was driving over the bridge to go and spend the whole day with him, and God showed me this story. And the walls, although weren't big enough for an army, they were about hardly big enough to walk through, and I could see the walls of the water, and I kept that vision, and we crossed through, and he's still making recovery, but he's here.
Awesome. I'm going to have James come right over here. This will be our last one here inside the worship center, so we're going to have James come right over here. You had your hand up, right?
Oh,
okay, yeah. So about 30 seconds or so, and James is going to hold the microphone.
I just wanted to say that, you know, sometimes in our experience, we have learned to stop thinking. If God says move, just like he was talking about just a moment ago, when God says move, stop thinking about it. Trust God and let him open the door or the sea. And we have experienced that better than you ever know. But even just coming to this place has been one of those sea opening moments, and God has always been there. And we just love the fact that, you know, when we trust him, he moves mountains for us.
Love it. That's awesome. Thank you so much. And let's go ahead and finish off, see if there anything else came in. Stanley, is there anything else from our online community that you want to share as we close off this part of the sermon?
Oh, for sure. My favorite one is actually a one-word answer. It is just the word parenting.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. One I just want to also throw out there is the Red Sea for me is the cancer diagnosis and now trusting God to heal me. I just want to extend warm prayers and well wishes to whoever that may be. But those are definitely those insurmountable moments sometimes.
Thank you, Stanley. I really appreciate that. I want to conclude this sermon by telling Derek and you my takeaways, what I'm applying to me. Maybe this applies to you, maybe it doesn't, but I want you to know, because Derek, you asked, what do you think? Here's my takeaways from this story. The first one for me is that after a mountain, expect a valley. So many times in my walk in life, I have this moment with Jesus where like, everything's going to be better from here on out. It could never go backwards. I'm leaving Egypt. It's only the promised land from here. And then I found myself by the Red Sea just a few minutes later. And so one of the things I've tried to condition myself is that phrase that says, this too shall pass. If it's good, not to be negative, but it will probably pass. If it's bad, it will pass. But life is full of mountains and valleys, and God is in both. The second thing for me is to not be surprised when God boxes me in. Sometimes God, remember how God said that if the children of Israel encountered a battle with the Philistines, they would head back to Egypt? They had no choice, did they? God put them in a position where they couldn't go back to Egypt when they're in a battle situation. And then he demonstrated something else for them, that he could take care of them. But so many times in my life, this year has been, it felt like one thing after another. God boxes me in, and I think there is no way out of this. There just isn't. It's a cancer diagnosis. It's a financial setback. It's a child that you just, your heart's being ripped up about. So don't be surprised when you get boxed in and God doesn't give you a way out on your own. And when that happens, try not to panic. And if you do panic, give yourself a little bit of grace. I had something happen to me in the last month that just, Rochelle will tell you that it left me very upset. And this is a pastor who I have preached to you time and time again about how God will see you through. And I was angry and panicking. But then I remembered that instead of panicking, God wants me to move forward towards that Red Sea. To go in the direction he brought me here, on I go. And after I get moving, and after God does miraculous things, whether he changes the situation or he changes my heart about the situation, I'm gonna celebrate. And I'm gonna let it be something that helps my faith grow. Family, the Bible isn't a book full of really fun stories only. It is a book full of really fun stories that God wants you to apply to your life here and now. And I hope you will be inspired to do that with every day that goes by.
Hi, this is Randy McGray, podcast producer and host here at Whole Life Church. Loving people into a lifelong friendship with God is our mission at the Whole Life Church, and our podcasts are designed to help facilitate conversations that help us grow together in that pursuit. Now that you've heard the message for this week, don't forget to check out the Whole Life Takeaways for this message. Swipe up in today's show notes and join the conversation. Speaking of conversations, each Wednesday morning we take a closer look at the week's message. That's right, the one you just listened to. We discuss practical ways to apply spiritual lessons and ask honest questions about the issues we face as Christians, all focused through the lens of grace. Your voice is a welcomed addition to that conversation. We encourage your thoughts and your questions by sending a voicemail or text to 407-965-1607 or send an email to podcast@wholelife.church. You can find everything podcast related on our website, wholelife.church/podcast. And plan on spending every Tuesday evening and Wednesday morning with us as we bring you the Whole Life Church inspiration you love straight into your headphones. Thanks for listening, and have a great week.